We'll do all of that and more when we come back right here in your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Sometimes watching a flawless serve can make you realize,
wait a minute, I think I might love tennis.
So you get 2% cash back on rackets, 2% cash back on shoes, 2% cash back on gear, tennis balls, lessons. And before you know it, you've got a decent backhand.
I do have a decent backhand.
Get unlimited 2% cash back on purchases and be ready for your next passion with the new Wells Fargo Active Cash Visa Card. Terms apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. All rights reserved.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go.
Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Sarah Spain.
She is resigning now in this moment because she has been proven to have failed all of those girls.
And me, Jason Fitz, are Spain and Fitz. We are back.
College football has built into it nostalgia.
Sarah Spain.
A connection to a community. This will not have that.
Jason Fitz.
He is, when he is healthy, considered to be one of the great young pieces in the game.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports, the GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
We have a name. The intern will give us the name of your New Orleans Pelicans G League team, the official G League team. We'll give you that here in a quick sec. Also, I'm going to touch on all of the different topics and storylines that we've done so already from the very beginning of the day. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to chime into the conversation. Very busy week. You have Saints training camp. Players have started to report, including yesterday, the rookies, the guys that are trying to make the team. And then you have the veterans that report tomorrow. Conditioning test today for the guys that came in yesterday. Conditioning test Wednesday for the guys that report tomorrow. And then Thursday, the team's first practice. We'll touch on, of course, two players of note that have perhaps or maybe not. Well, one did sign in. One we will see if they sign or not. It might be just a name that came out. And that's because the Saints worked out veteran receivers today per various reports, including Chris Hogan, 9-year veteran with the Jets, 14 receptions, 118 yards, 0 TDs a season ago. Team over the weekend yesterday, I believe Brian Poole agreeing with the team on a 1-year deal. Nick Underhill, NewOrleans.football, saying primarily a slot guy. And, you know, Jordan, you think of that kind of, you know, nickel. I mean, you're thinking of maybe a starter on the outside at the cornerback, but as even Nick brought up, depth is something that you sort of need. Let's see who moves over and stuff. I've kind of thrown it out there. You know, Chauncey, I know he's perfect on the inside, but why not Chauncey on the outside? Can he do that or not? I don't know. We'll see what happens on Thursday. I'm legitimately excited about a handful of things I'm going to see. And I don't mean excited in terms that I think it's all good, because I think there's some question marks. I'm warning everybody now just to be happy that football is back. Be happy that we will have legit storylines and sound bites. You'll hear from the players and analysis and people looking into things. But I want everyone to sort of go into the season with an understanding. That's all. You don't know what kind of football team you're going to have for a bit. There's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of holes. There's a lot of answers that Jordan, while I'd like them to be answered by Thursday or Saturday or next month, it's just not, right? Start with the biggest one. It's quarterback. It's not going to be answered, at least probably, to game number three. And, you know, Maddie brought it up. I think Catherine brought it up. I think Larry last week, Mike. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Sean Payton doesn't wait until the week of the Packers. Wednesday. If that, I would think Wednesday. Remember when Drew Brees went out, he didn't say nothing. Now Taysom Hill was made available on Wednesday, and we deduced that's normally the day for the starting quarterback, right? Sean, even on Friday, we'll see. Yeah, so what do you think? Do you think, Jordan, we will know before the Packers game who the quarterback is?
Yeah, we'll know.
I do, too. I understand the whole trying to, or do you think Sean Payton's going to make the Packers wait to the very last minute? I mean, the team will obviously know. The team knew it was Taysom Hill before we knew. I think he waits. I think he waits to Packers week.
Unless we get the whole...
Most used phrase from coach when it comes to
I'll
that.
Let you know.
You think I'll let you know? I'm going to go with, we'll look at the film. You're right. I think you won. I think I'll let you know.
I'll let you know.
By the way, did you see the robot? It was just on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Three-point shot in the mid.
Three-point
yeah.
shooting robot over in Tokyo. And unfortunately, many Pels fans said already a better shooter. I think the West Bank Houdad said already a better shooter than some members of the
Pelicans. Shot a half-court shot as well.
Drained it. Nothing but net. Jordan, why can't we go get a robot? He has no lateral movement. He's slow. Could be guardable. But again, there are people that can knock down threes in the world, and including things. Can the Pelicans find something that can knock down a three? That's all I care about. Four picks in the second round, one in the first round. We'll recap some of the tidbits that we've been seeing. We spoke about it with Scott Kushner back in hour number one at 12:30. Pick a player, any player, basically is being tied to or reported in a handful of different ways here as well. Thursday will be at Hooters, 6 to 10. It's the 2021 NBA Draft Show, live from Hooters. Ty Graffanini, myself, Jordan, Maddie at Hooters. Daniel Salerson, Jim Eichenhofer at the Smoothie King Center. Exclusive interviews, going back and forth to the draft. You'll hear the picks. You'll hear everything else. Just tune in with us. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. And tomorrow, we're going to be doing the show from the Pelicans training facility, because it'll be right after the Willie Green introductory press conference. He's going to meet the media and everybody at 11. And then we hope to have him on right at the start of that show tomorrow and have him on. So I've asked this, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Start thinking about it. What's the one piece? Not like Jordan, you have a whole checklist.
Yes, wish list.
One piece of advice that you're going to give Willie Green, okay? One piece. We're going to jot it down. We'll present it to him and see what he thinks. Mind simple. I don't want to hear for whatever reason. That phrase is never a good thing. Jordan, have you come up with one, at least out of your checklist?
Well, I like Scott's also,
yeah.
But I need to be original. I know Scott was like, get in with Zion's family.
Yeah, okay.
Make friends with his stepfather, mm-hmm. but I don't know. There's a lot of things, and
Man, I just want one. Give me one.
No, I have to think about it. I can't just throw one out there willy-nilly, especially if you're asking.
There's a little knob to my right. It's attached to a number. It says three. That is your microphone.
Are you sure?
It is.
Are you sure?
See? Say something. I have that one off as well. Mic number four. If I'm going to open the mic, I would like you to contribute. I've asked you for 2 hours to come up with one thing, and your answer was, I don't know yet. So why do I have your mic open? Exactly. Shane. Save the intern here. What do you got for us today?
Hey, buddy, I got a couple of questions and I got a piece of advice for Willie. My piece of advice for Willie is be yourself and don't let Griff bully you into playing certain lineups, because that's what he envisioned. And got my first question is about Michael Thomas and the Saints. I've been watching the old, trying to get in the football mood, watching old games on the NFL pad from my iPad. And dude, he's an animal when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Is there a problem, something going on, and why did he have surgery on an ankle in June when it's been hurt since last September?
Right.
Were they trying to rehab it, or did somebody tell him that he didn't need surgery, or did he re-injure it? Why wait until June to have the surgery?
And I will say
that's
this.
My first question.
Okay, well, just I can quickly answer this. There's a lot of different speculation and reasons why. I saw a doctor put a YouTube video out there today as to why he thinks it may have been one of those situations. You're trying to wait to sort of see and then figure out the process to that. But I'll be honest with you, Shane, I got to imagine it's going to be the first question that's asked to Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton as they normally are made available the day before the first training camp practice, which would be Wednesday. I'm assuming someone's going to ask that. I don't know if they're going to answer that, but I would assume that that is a logical question. And the only thing I can think of is they were going to try to rehab it and fix it on its own, give it time, pawn a couple of tests. Either he re-injured it or they felt that it wasn't getting better at that point. And then they made the decision to go along with that. But again, go back to what Larry told us on Friday, that he said that it was a point of contention in the building. So that leads me to believe that the team didn't decide to wait till June, right? Or they didn't know about
right.
it. I mean, that would be my guess.
Okay. And my second question is, and not saying that this is Pelicans related, not saying that we want any or all of these players right here, and Beal and McCollum and Lillard and Westbrook, and you can't tell me that we can't get one of those people to come down here and trade and get one of those people down here. That would be horrible if we can't get any of them. Like, I mean, there can't be that many teams that have that much more to offer than the Pelicans. And I'm not sure that any have much more to offer than the Pelicans. You got to be able to get one of them. Griff, if you can't get one of them, you need to just retire, and you got to be able to take one of those.
All right, Shane, so I'm going to put that down for you. Be yourself to Willie Green tomorrow. That's going to be your suggestion.
That's my suggestion. Don't let the biggest part is don't let Griff bully you into. It might cost you your job, but don't let Griff bully you into playing a lineup that you don't want to play.
He just started. He's like day four on the job. But I know what you're talking about. To kind of, I have to imagine that's part of the discussion, though, right? Before both parties agree, I'm sure the vision was explained to him and how David sees it.
I
hear you. It's a difficult situation for him for sure. You know what makes it better? If the roster provided can play. If the roster provided can actually play, then you can coach. But again, that roster needs to be receptive. That roster actually needs to be able to play. That roster needs to want to be on defense. That roster needs to want to be roles. That roster, again, has to be able to play. So if you provide that, I think it should be okay. I think when you are void of interest, ability, desire, that's tough on anybody. So that's the number one thing.
I got my tools, my fingers, and my butt cheek scrawls that they can get the roster decent enough to make a playoff push.
My goodness. Luka had 48 points on Sunday?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
I'm watching
Luka's
the jump.
Pretty
he's pretty good.
He's an okay player.
Yeah, he's not that bad. He's actually panned out, hasn't he? He's panned out. Thank you, man. Appreciate the time, Shane.
All right, buddy.
Sounds good. Jordan, you ready? You got the name for us?
I do have the name.
It is official, right?
The New Orleans Pelicans G League affiliate officially has a name, the Birmingham Squadron.
Mm-hmm.
The newly unveiled name ties in with the parents' club's branding and is a nod towards Alabama's military history.
I like it. So it's a star logo, and the center is a basketball. Orange and white. The star predominantly blue. You have a white little trim that almost looks like a heartbeat, or, you know, like on a heartbeat monitor. You kind of see it. That's the very top of the star. Then you have gold outlines inside of it that kind of make me think of the Pelican Wing logo, right? So that's how you can sort of see that. So you definitely see the team's colors in there. And you, what are you grinning about? What? What?
I don't know if it's the way I'm looking. It kind of looks like I could see Japan's flag in the background. Does that not look like Japan's flag?
Like the red dot with the white backdrop?
Yeah. Look, it looks
it's
like
it's not even like a third of the logo. It's a basketball.
Doesn't it look like it?
Basketball with the pelican beak. You ever see the bird logo? Yeah, it's orange beak with the white head.
Can't you see it? Like
no,
like
actually,
just,
I don't.
They just put like
Uber Eric. Please say you're about to get banned for the hour. I had to turn down your mic once, and now you're coming up with another nation's flag on the Pelicans logo.
It looks like they just used that as a backdrop.
Uber Eric, would you like to come co-host the show with me on Thursday? You might enjoy yourself at Hooters on the West Bank.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
Hey, this is a question I would have for Willie Green. Who is the actual general manager? Is it Trajan Langdon or is it David Griffin?
General manager is Trajan Langdon. Above him is David Griffin, who's the vice president of basketball operations.
Well, we don't hear Trajan Langdon making a lot of moves. It's all about, you know, David Griffin and what he wants to do and who he wants to play in the backcourt. Can he just get out of the way? He's getting like Jared Jones or somebody. Jesus Christ. He just seemed to be in the way and making a lot of bad decisions and making a lot of bad coaching hires. I mean, I thought the Van Gundy hire was a decent hire, but you didn't have the roster that, you know, tough guys that want to play defense. So that was a bad fit. I mean, everything I hear about Willie Green, you know, it seems to be a positive. But with Griff, you just never know. So I would like him to get out of the way and allow Green and the actual GM make roster decisions.
Mm-hmm. Again, man, you're the second caller. I think there's a lot of frustration. And as I talked about with Scott Kushner, I think there's a lot of people that mirror what the intern said a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Willie Green, and I was all excited. And you said what? You're like, I got to see it. You're just, it's not that you don't buy it. It's not that you're not wishing hope, but kind of like what you're saying, Uber Eric, at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to kind of wash that bitter taste in our mouths is success, a couple of wins, or at the very least seeing a direction of where this organization is going and where the team is going. So tomorrow we'll be excited, and then we'll see what the draft brings, and we'll see what free agency brings. But until everybody gets on the court and gets better and wins, I think it's going to sort of be like that, right?
Yep. We'll see, man. That's all, folks.
Oh, there it is. Uber Eric, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Marlon Favre right next on ESPN New Orleans. Breaking news! DraftKings is live in Louisiana with daily fantasy sports. DraftKings has finished dotting their I's and crossing their T's, meaning you can begin playing right now. Get a free entry into DraftKings daily fantasy contest with your first deposit of $5 or more and get a free shot at winning thousands of dollars. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Every player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, then sit back and watch your points pile up. Download the top-rated DraftKings app and use code LAROSE when you sign up. For a limited time, all new players can have a free shot at winning thousands of dollars with their first deposit. That's code LAROSE, only on the DraftKings app. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Oh, yeah. Golden Motors right here in Cutoff, Louisiana is the place to buy your next Chevrolet, Buick, or nearly new pre-owned or any make or model vehicle that you're looking for. Golden Motors, nestled only 60 miles from New Orleans, only 35 to 40 minutes from Homewood Thibodeau area, and only seconds from www.goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, where prices priority. Cut off Louisiana, 985-325-1000, or goldenmotors.com. Chevy, find new roads.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Super excited about DraftKings. Go check out the app. Download it. Don't forget that that code, LAROSE, L-A-R-O-S-E. Jordan. It's just Monday. It's going to get more and more as we get closer to the draft. Marlon, give me 10 seconds. Jordan, the latest tweet of info, perhaps, at Scoop B on Twitter.
Yeah, he tweets out 38 minutes ago, Pelicans have discussed a deal with the Boston Celtics. The framework of the deal would be the number 10 pick in the 2021 NBA draft and Eric Bledsoe for Marcus Smart in a future pick. The Pelicans are motivated to move Bledsoe for a quality veteran player, as well as a future asset to be used in a later deal.
All right. Marlon Fave, right? A big Fave 504 is the way to follow over on Twitter. And as always, we appreciate the time. And then, of course, Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Marlon, how are you, sir?
Oh, yeah. Man, feeling great, guys. Man, happy Monday. It's hot outside. Watch out there now. But for the most part, I'll take a little bit of heat over the rain.
So you'd rather the heat over the rain. See, on Friday, I said I'd rather the rain over the heat.
I'm rolling with the heat because at least it's beautiful. You know, you ain't got to worry about. You're getting wet, but in a different way. You sweat.
Okay.
And it's burning calories. You're not getting super soaked, you know.
I don't know, man. I get it. But then again, you are someone that likes to wear a hoodie and long sleeves in your workout. So, you know, it's what it is, dude. Maybe that needs to be the next single, you know. Hoodie and sleeves or something. Look, man, so we're getting closer. Obviously, here it is. Players are starting to report. I guess just kind of take us behind the scenes. What is it like when they say players report? What does that exactly mean? I mean, when you walk in, they're giving you a name tag and stuff. What is it like when the rookies report?
Well, when we report, we then merge locker rooms with the veterans or the older guys on the team. And like the first, let's say, day or two of training camp is really mainly physicals, you know, going through. I know after the lockout year back in 2011, Coach Belichick wanted all of us to do another conditioning test. We had to do three cones because he just wanted to see where guys' testing numbers were at. So you would do, like, the preliminary thing, some light installs of the playbook. But about 3 or 4 days in the training camp, that's when it gets real. That's when it's full padded practices and film study, from film study to more practices, in some cases 2 days, you know. So, you know, once we get into before the Hall of Fame game is played, each NFL team would have had at least 3 to 4 solid padded practices in.
That doesn't seem like very many in terms of this, Marlon. Something I've always brought up with you, when you're trying to make an impression, you're trying to win a starting job, you're trying to perhaps learn a new system or things of that nature. How many practices would you say that somebody would need to where you sort of feel comfortable? Or is it too late by then? And what I'm getting at is normally that's why we said OTAs and minicamp's important. But for the Saints and their rookies, they're literally going to have their first, like, real practice on Thursday. How difficult is it to try to learn all of that before a preseason game?
Well, hopefully during OTAs they did some installs. But the play calling is a bit vanilla at the beginning portion of the season. So the Hall of Fame game, you know, week one game, week two. By the time you get to week two, most of the coordinators would have put in at least a good 55% of the plays that they're going to call. So I'll give you
give you guys an example. For let's take it inside the trenches. For a guy like me, an interior defensive lineman, that's a three tech or a shade, which is a one tech over the center. The plays will be pretty vanilla the first week or two. So base packages, just one gap responsibility. Your responsibility may change like two or three plays, give or take. The sophisticated stuff, the plays that we're going to put out to try to beat, let's say, for instance, I'm back with the Saints, we're about to play Green Bay, that stuff goes in the week of prepping for Green Bay. A little bit of the last preseason game, a little bit after that, we start prepping for week one, and then that's when we get into the big calls and, mm-hmm. you know, all the stuff that's complicated.
Is it harder to be ready physically for those first few days of practice, or is it harder to try to tame the, I guess, exuberance for, say, players like you when you know every practice is going to be watched a certain way, every way is going to be looked at a certain way, because you ain't got the time. Marlon, a veteran, you know, Cam Jordan's on the team, you know, players like that on the team. But for you, how difficult was it to sort of balance, okay, look, I can't, you know, you're the Patriots, I can't go really too hard at Tom Brady because that's my first ticket out the door if I, like, run into his legs and stuff, right? So how do you, like, at the same time, though, try to stand out for the eye in the sky?
And that's the challenge, right? When you're a rookie or an undrafted guy trying to make your name, you got to, like, make those plays count. So let's say, for instance, we're in training camp, and it's twos versus threes. We may only have, I can remember one time having, like, two reps and having to make those reps count. Like, the coach will know, hey, this guy only had two plays, but look what he did. And then there's a thing, guys, where you got to determine whether or not you're a camp body or somebody that they're really evaluating. And that's a challenge as well, because if you're somebody that they really evaluate, you'll start to notice yourself getting more plays with, like, the two group. You'll find yourself somewhere in one of the five-man front packages. So if you're a starting nose guard on a five-man front package, it's a likely chance you'll make the active roster if they start adding you to other things. So that's, to not complicate it for our listeners, mm-hmm. you really just kind of have to gauge what your situation is. Am I a camp body, or are they really trying to evaluate me? And that's usually the difficult part of the NFL.
That's the hardest thing, like you say, the difficult part of understanding what you are and just knowing, I guess, the limited reps and things that you get on that. I've always joked with Jordan. I said, and I feel bad. I don't mean it like joking in terms of I think it's funny. But I mean, when you're the third or fourth string quarterback, you're literally getting two snaps during team drills, Marlon. And I guess that wouldn't be any different than, say, you know, Favorite, you're the third DT to go in there, and, you know, your snaps are literally when a third and fourth quarterback snaps go in there, and that's it. Is that the hardest thing to try to impress when, especially, you haven't moved up on the depth chart?
Yeah, that is it. So give you an example. I'll give you a real-life example. My rookie year with Carolina, Coach Brian Baker, when he was scouting me and like, really going hard at me to get me to come in as an undrafted free agent, he was honest. He was like, hey, we don't have a lot of depth at the nose guard position. So you could come in and play behind Keito. You could get big boy reps behind him. When I got in there, that's what it was. It was a veteran on there, but he was more of a three tech. Like, the numbers were very light. And I noticed once we got into preseason, my reps started to go up. I started to see myself, like, I was in a starting package the first game against New York, against the Giants. Then I started to see my reps increase against the Ravens. And then there was a switch up when Mr. Richardson fired his grandkids and brought in Marty. Well, GM Marty brought in people that he wanted. So that pushed me back from being with the ones and twos to more about some reps with the twos and more of the three group. Mm. That's because he brought in, and I was messing with Leonard Little. He was a high draft pick guy, I think. Leonard might have been drafted in like the third round, maybe two or three years before my rookie year. We were at an NFL event 2 years ago, and I was messing with him. I said, hey, man, you know you got me fired when you came to Carolina, huh? He started laughing. He's like, man, don't do that to me. But that's just the nature of the business, Jordan. Dust, you know, it's a, what have you done for me lately? On top of that, am I one of their guys?
Right.
And that's what I remember more than anything from my rookie year.
Is that something we should look at as well when we go into camp in these practices, Marlon, in terms of, you know, we know that there's a battle at quarterback. I'm assuming another battle at that second cornerback spot. I'm assuming another battle perhaps at that second linebacker spot next to DeMario Davis. Assuming who's going to be that number one receiver that steps up in the absence of Michael Thomas. That's another battle. So do you think that's something to keep an eye on? You know, this, perhaps does this coach have a preference already going into it? Or one thing that I've seen from Sean Payton, though, again, and I use the Pierre Thomas situation, I think you can win it on the field. I think he's established a culture enough that if you make the plays are the plays. If you make plays, you're going to play.
No doubt, Gus. And not to mention bringing in a guy like Brian Poole, who's a solid nickelback that can play in the box, that can tackle, that can cover downfield. That lets me know that Coach Payton has even more faith in Patrick Robinson and in Paulson Adebo, who I think is a guy that's going to come in and really make a difference for this Saints team. But, you know, I like to pay attention to guys like Ryan Glasgow and Malcolm Roach. Those are the guys I watch when we go to training camp, you know, because I feel like not only could I relate to it, Gus, but if those guys make the team, that's the player you want to watch because you have to jump through so many hoops. You have to be able to win on all sorts of obstacles to be a undrafted free agent and just really become a likable person to the coach. It's just really all about if someone wants you to be on their team. That's what it all boils down to. Even you can mess up five out of, I don't know, maybe seven plays. Those two plays that you did fairly well, there's something about this guy. You know, everybody wants that. It's something about this guy feeling right. When you're an undrafted free agent or you're a guy that's really trying to make a depth chart. It's tough, Gus, when you don't have the reps, man. Even take a guy like Lorenzo Neal. He comes in, his dad, he has pedigree. His dad, obviously, sure. Was an all-pro fullback. You know, he has to fight. I'm looking to see how he looks. You know, when guys like that make the stride, and like I told you, my favorite story last year was Brennan Fajoco, a guy that I thought was a great player at LSU, mm-hmm. but he didn't have the Rashad Lawrence or that type of effect to get drafted high, and he made the roster, and that made my day. So just to, you know, tell that story really means a lot as well.
Yeah, look, anytime you have a pregame ritual like he and his dad have, man, you got to love that here as well. Big fave, guess what, dude? Training camp is here. So when we speak Friday, I want to speak specifically about what are you going to be looking at some of those guys that you mentioned, whether it's Neal, Shy Tuttle, and others to take the place of Malcolm Brown and things like that. Obviously, I think game action, pads, first padded practice being Saturday, all of that. So we'll get into all of that on Friday, man, a little bit more in detail. Now that we actually will start seeing football. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it as always.
Man, y'all have a great week. Talk soon.
Gotcha. Jordan, are you ready? You ready for some practice?
I'm ready.
You're going to be paying attention to the rookies this year, aren't you?
Yes.
All right.
Looking forward to it. We're going to have some stuff up on the website and all that stuff. So, got a lot to get into. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Sweet. I can't resist.
We need. Reddit user FlamoDemo says, "This is the worst phone I've owned. People are always bothering me about it. I'm scared just to use my phone in public as a random someone may just give me a stupid grin or whisper to their friends. I cannot stand the fact that I just can't relate to normal phones anymore."
Are you ready for this life? Find out at Samsung.com/reserve. That's Samsung.com/reserve. Goodyear believes in the power of moving forward. No matter if it's on the track, the court, or the field, movement makes us want to be more. It pushes us to go further, to show the world what we can do. Movement has the unique ability to change our perspective, to challenge us, to work for a better tomorrow. Movement can even bring us together when we're still. Because if we're focused on the next move, we don't have to worry about what's behind us. Goodyear, more driven.
Heard you're buying a car. I brought my calculator.
Dad, I already used Capital One Auto Navigator. I found my car online and got pre-qualified instantly. Instead of all that.
You know those things impact your credit score.
Didn't impact my credit score, Dad. Now I'm going to the dealership for a test drive and to make the purchase.
Sounds too easy.
No, it's just easy. Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of heart disease. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Don't forget to put in that code LaRose for DraftKings. It's now live in Louisiana. Go download the app, Jordan. Go find out and figure out how to easily put together your fantasy lineup. It's a salary cap. We should be like schooled, huh? Don't you think? In salary cap dealings around here, the way the Saints deal with their salary cap.
That would be nice.
What I'm going to say is like, you know what that means, right? Like, I think of any other area, people in Louisiana, New Orleans know what a salary cap means. Like, when I tell you that you can put your team together, you got a cap. Gotcha. You know exactly what that means, right? You do. So, it's fun, including, again, right now, Tokyo's going on, and you can have a little fun with that. So, and look, every time you go in there, free shot to win thousands of dollars with that first deposit, Jordan. I know you could use a couple of thousand.
I mean, I could use some. I really could.
You really could use a couple of thousand here as well. Again, tomorrow, the Willie Green press conference is at 11. We're going to be doing the show from 12 to 3 over there. Hope to kind of give you a little bit better coverage and hear from Willie Green. Some things that you can pass along, if you like, to coach. Words of advice. Things of that nature.
I got one.
Mine's easy. Mine's real easy. I don't want to hear the phrase "for whatever reason" ever from Willie Green, because that's never a good thing. The last three coaches have said it, and it's probably the precursor to disaster. So I don't want to hear it. Tell me why. Coach, what happened to the shooting? We couldn't shoot. No energy. I don't want to hear "for whatever reason" because it's never good.
Some advice maybe for Willie Green that you could ask him tomorrow. I guess don't blame the younger guys. Don't blame youth as an excuse as to why your team doesn't win games.
You don't want to hear about
youth. Close out games.
Gotcha. So you don't want to hear about youth.
Don't want to hear
about youth. I'm with you. Execute. I'm with you. Woj, 8 minutes ago, Detroit's internal meetings are still revolving around three players for their number one pick on Thursday night. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley. Sources tell ESPN. Detroit isn't fully there yet on committing to Cunningham with their first overall choice. We'll talk about that Thursday. We'll be live at Hooters, 2781 Bell Chase Highway. Come out and see us. Jordan's closely guarding the box of goodies. Go ahead. I'll turn the mic up. Sounds a little light today, bud.
Light?
It sounds a little light today.
I don't know. I might put a few more items in there.
Making sure you
are. Do you want me to go over the items?
No, that's fine. But I think we should bring something tomorrow. To get coach signed. What do you think?
Yeah.
I got a little something. We'll let it go. Yeah, go ahead and take that out so we don't forget it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was...
Let's go ahead and take it out so we don't forget it already. So looking forward to that again tomorrow, seeing and meeting Coach Willie Green. What do you think the Pels do?
What do you think the Pelicans do? I said last week. There's
Thursday.
Like
what do you think?
Yeah,
they can do so many different things. They really legitimately can.
I mean, you could see trades or roster spots moving out the wazoo.
How about we start, I guess, crossing things off? Scott Kushner joined us. He's like, you got to win now. Because I brought up the whole, you know, there's been a lot of reports last week that the Pels are interested in Kyle Lowry. They're desperate for Lowry was something I saw over the weekend. I'm like, great. You never want to be desperate. And look, I'm not saying, I know there's a ton of media members in the city are like, yes, give us. I'm like, I hear you, and I understand the reasons. My only word of caution is how I would look at it. I got just a little word of caution. What is your realistic expectation next year? Playoffs? Okay.
Bare minimal.
Okay, I'm with you. Is play in a playoff? Or you, when I say playoffs, no. You're talking about that's a best of four.
It has to be.
You got to win four.
It has
okay.
to be.
Okay, so you're looking then at legitimate first round.
This past season was play in. Okay. That was your expectation.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So in your mind, seven or above, or at the very least, winning the play in to be able to be in a best of seven series.
Yes.
Okay, so reasonable expectation, bare minimum, best of seven series. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, so that means you're already not going to be happy if you need to be in the play-in to get to that, right?
Oh, I will be happy if...
Because that means just seven and above.
Well, if... Wait, I thought the seventh seed also passed to play.
I think they're going to change that this year, but regardless, you're right.
If it is... I'd be happy with seven because then you just have to win one game.
Okay. Okay. But regardless of how it ends, I think best of seven, I'd agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay. But is that a reasonable expectation?
I don't think that's anything that's crazy to say
okay.
at all. So you want to start scratching things out? That's
yeah,
not going
to
happen.
No, I'm trying to be reasonable because I think I need to be governed when I make decisions by reason, logic, and reality. I may think I have the right reason. Logically, this decision could be that way, but then reality may push me to do something else. Does that make sense? Right? Like, I may want to do something, and sometimes because of financial burden, pressure in a relationship, pressure at work, you tend to do something that maybe you wouldn't normally do when using sound logic and decision making. Does that make sense? The reason I say that is because I wonder the following. Shouldn't your two top players get you to that point already?
Saw it this year.
Right?
Saw it in the playoffs this year.
But what I'm saying is, if I'm going to move forward as an organization, Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram have got to take that next step to then help lead my organization that way, right? Aren't we writing y'all? Isn't that the reason you are a number one pick? The title franchise player comes with some stuff. Ask Giannis. You ask all of them. I get it. Yes, you get the $245 million contract. But that guy came into the league wanting to be an NBA player. After that, was the defensive player of the year. After that, most improved player, then defensive player of the year, then MVP, MVP, now NBA champion. Yes, you need pieces, and look, that's David's job. But I guess what I'm getting at is this. What I've heard as to reasons we need Damian Lillard, we need Kyle Lowry, we need shooting and leadership, it's we need to have a culture change.
What is that?
Well, I'm going to ask Willie Green, what is that? How do you get good culture? How do you change it? How do you sustain it? How do you build it? But Mike, what I'm wondering out loud, isn't that what your franchise player is supposed to do?
Well, what's funny is when David Griffin came in here, that was like his whole thing, like family orientation. And that's
right.
Kind of what a complete 180.
But what I'm getting at is, and even when Zion got here two seasons ago, they did it with Chris, they did it with AD. They didn't want to put pressure on that young player to be the face of the... That garbage is out the window the second a report comes out that I'm unhappy or my family's unhappy. Gotcha. I think you need to have a sit there. All right. This is y'all's team. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mind, and I get and I understand bringing in others outside to help with my culture, help build, create, and take further through veteran leadership. But name me a team that isn't where it's supposed to be or hadn't been competing where their most notable player isn't the guy. You understand what I'm getting at here? Like if the Pelicans are going to go where the Pelicans fans want to and the organization and he himself wants to, Zion needs to take us there. or at least get us on the road. I almost feel like a lot of times the last several months and weeks, it's like these guys are going to ride in the back seat of the pickup truck and everybody else inside the car is driving it. The veteran point guard, the guy that shoots the three, the guy that comes off the bench, the six man, they're in the back seat of the super cab and in the pickup truck. Zion should be driving and B.I.'s riding shotgun. Right? I mean, am I wrong on that? But when I look at reports over the weekend and everybody, yeah, we need a culture change. Right? Well, then what are those guys here to do? Well, they need to learn it, Gus, to understand. Well, but do they? I go back to David Grubb's statement that's so true from earlier in the season when I say, well, you know, it takes time for Zion to be great. And he goes, does he? Does somebody have to tell Kobe to be great? Does somebody have to tell Michael to be great? Does somebody have to tell Larry to be great? You go out and do it. Giannis, what did a guy say during the weeks and after the game? Scott Van Pelt, Portis, and all these other guys, even Drew said, that guy works tirelessly. That guy's improving. Again, I just gave you his resume. He went from skinny kid to just wanting to be in the NBA to improved player to defensive player of the year to two-time MVP to finals MVP. I get it, my man. You're happy. I get it. His family members want you elsewhere. Okay, great. What are you doing, though? I get he needs help, and I get this organization needs to be better, and I get the roster needs to improve. But is it just me, or do you kind of get the sense of feel no one's saying, okay, well, what are you doing as well? And I think you have every right to ask your franchise player and your max player and Brandon Ingram, okay, guys, this year, you guys need to take the step here. You guys need to take the step here, right? Well, Gus, look what the Suns did. They brought in, no. Listen to what Chris Paul said. I wanted to go play with Devin Booker because Devin Booker has what it takes. The Suns had a guy that was taking that stride and step. Then they paired him with a vet. They paired him with the Hall of Fame, right? Aiden started turning the page to becoming a more pro basketball player under Monty Williams. Your two guys have got to take that next step next year. So that's all I'm saying. Before you start spending $50 million plus to bring in somebody, hoping that they're going to magically change the culture of the locker room and the culture comes based off of your two best players. Am I wrong on that? Final segment next on ESPN New Orleans. You must have it.
Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care.
Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Jordan, where will we be on Thursday? So, if you remember this already.
We will be at Hooters.
Yeah.
On the Best Bank.
Can we count on you?
Yes.
We got wings, TVs, distractions. I mean, we're going to need you.
No, I got it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow, Willie Green will be introduced. This is nice. On the jump there, Cam Thomas, LSU. I know a lot of players, not players, a lot of fans have been kind of, hey, you know, he'd fit in on the Pelicans team. Jordan, score, Cam Thomas, what do you think? Showing his highlights and slow-mo and Will Wade's being
the Pelicans do need a score. Someone who could shoot the ball.
What do you think they're doing?
The Pelicans?
If they give up the 10th pick.
Which they are. They're not keeping the 10th
pick. Okay. If they no longer have the 10th pick, are you okay if they don't use it on a draft pick? Like to move up or move down?
Yeah.
Okay. What would you have to get in return for you to be okay with it?
Like I said last week, either get rid of a really bad contract in Eric Bledsoe. I mean, if Steven Adams is the way you still want to go, then I guess I'd be okay with that. But if you could dump off that big contract as well.
So you're okay with the Pelicans giving up the 10th pick and a player if it gets you what?
If it gets you maybe a later first.
Wow. So you're willing to move back.
But at the same time, it does allow you a lot more capital that you can spend
because you don't have contracts. Okay.
Or you could go and get a free agent type player. You could go and expand your horizon a little bit more.
I get a sense and feel that a lot of people that cover the team don't really kind of look at the 10 as like, you can't leave from there because there's so much to get into it. Would you be willing to part with the 10th pick if it helps you get, say, a veteran player?
Absolutely.
Point guard, shooting guard, something like that. Okay. So you're open to any and all suggestions.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You're not locked into anything.
No.
No, I'm with you.
I have no idea what they're doing. This is just me. I just feel like that number 10 pick is not going to be in the
Pelicans. When you look at the names around it, it'd be a nice piece. Right? I mean, that's not being disrespectful. You never know. You never know, man. That 10 pick may come into league and do really well.
What was it? Corey Kispert?
Kispert.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Pelicans need shooting, but I mean, right now, yeah, that is one main concern.
But
I don't think that's not going to change.
Yeah,
everything.
Okay, but that's what I'm getting at. See, that's why that last segment I said what I said. You're on the same boat with me. You just maybe not realize we're heading in the right direction. You're right. Is a draft pick, is a free agency signing going to be the end-all, be-all of how this direction changes? No. You need a captain. You need a ship. And that's why I keep harping on it. The guy that after the season should have said, I'm going to get it fixed here. Come heck or high water. The sail's going to be fixed. I'm going to be the rudder on a rudderless ship. Basically, has allowed a report that says they're unhappy and they're looking to go somewhere else to fester. That's my point in all of this. That person, that individual should be the leading driving force and work ethic. Things on the, and he may be, but I'm saying is it has to be. Because if a draft pick, if a free agency signing, if you're hoping for those people to come in and turn the direction of this team, well then, what are the other two guys doing? Your max player and franchise player. This has to be their team. And to your point, you're tired of hearing you're no longer the young kid anymore. Brandon's been here a while. He's on a second contract.
Hasn't made the playoffs.
Okay. You're on your second deal. I mean, how much longer am I going to keep calling you a young player? Zion, you're in your third season. And like it or not, if you haven't clarified it, your family's thoughts, your thoughts have accelerated. Okay, well now I'm accelerating my expectation level of you. Right? I mean, is that not fair?
No, it's fair.
So
you can't have, you know, both sides of the spectrum.
Well, no, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is like, I can't have these two young guys say, well, I need a better team. Or, well, okay, well, now, again, this is a different thing. These two guys show up this year, they play better defense. They round out their offensive game. They're showing leadership on the floor, right? They're holding others accountable. We see that kind of growth. Man, I'm completely different, I think, this summer. But right now, I'm like, this is all fighting and Andy. Everyone keeps saying we need to do this, we need to build that, we need to change this. Well, what are they there for? And again, all you have to do, and I hate keeping using this analogy, but it's a proven one, and it's one that's recognizable to everybody. Hoop fan, football fan. Drew Brees changed the culture. Didn't he? You can say Sean did as well. You have to have a player. You have to have someone that walks in and says, this is my ship. Jordan, got a hole over here. Plug it up. Jordan, what happened to the sale? Go get another one. You have to have somebody that takes ownership of the sinking ship. Am I lying on that? He came in to an organization known for paper bags, known for blowing things, known for not winning, into an environment, a city that was down. That person's positive energy, that person's work ethic, that person's accountability on other players changed the culture, helped create a new culture that was envisioned by Sean, sure. But you have to have that player. The most important conversation Willie Green's going to have isn't from David Griffin. It's what Scott Kushner suggested. And it's not Zion's family. It's face-to-face across from him. Is this your team? Is this your organization? This is what I envision. Are you buying in? Are you with me?